No one goes forward well when they're looking back. In Matthew 16, Jesus sends his disciples out across the Sea of Galilee in a boat, and after praying through the night, early in the morning, he sets out after them before dawn. He walks on the lake, and when the disciples see him, they are frightened, they're afraid, they think he's a ghost, and he tells them, "Don't be afraid, it's me, it's I, Jesus." So picking up in verse 28, we read, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And then they climbed back into the boat. The wind died down, and they were all realizing something. This is the Son of God. When Jesus was with his disciples, he had to have one big question on his mind at all times. It's the same question that has the power to change the rest of your life and mine. It's actually the main question that every parent with a kid or a teenager needs to be asking. And every person who is discouraged, whether it be in a marriage or a relationship, should be exploring this one question, as well as anyone discouraged about their current situation, whatever it is. This is really the sole question for anyone wanting to change their life. It could be simply losing weight or getting out of debt or having a better future. It might be that you want a deeper relationship with God. This one question can lift you out of discouragement and unleash a new hope in your life. So if you train yourself to ask this simple question in every situation in life, it will impact everything you do and everyone you know. It's the question, it's why Peter went from failure to a person of little faith to a great leader. And that question is, are you ready? Here it is, the big question. What can this become? What can this become? This series that I'm calling Hope Rising is based on a pilot project that we did with Bayside Covenant Church back in 2014. It coincided then with Ray's book called The Hope Quotient, and I'm convinced that now, more than ever, that we are in a crisis of hope as a people, as a nation. We need hope. We need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to really begin to dream again, to have God-sized visions of the impact of the church in the world today, impact on our lives, impact in all the places that we touch. We need hope. In the book, Unleashing Hope, Ray Johnson, he asks, what was it about Jesus that set people like Peter free from past fear and doubt to become something that he or we never dreamed possible? The answer is Jesus was not focused on what people were like. He was focused on what they could become. Today we are going to ask and look at how we can finally let go of the past and gain a fresh vision for our future, a vision from God for the future he has planned for us. So how do we stop looking, like Peter, at those troubling winds and waves that distract us and begin to focus on walking with faith into the life and what we can become? In the movie called 42, it's about Jackie Robinson, the first black athlete to ever play in Major League Baseball in the modern era, his number, 42. In a brave stand against prejudice, there's a scene where Jackie and his teammate, they stand on a field together before the game. And there are jeers and taunts from the stand. They're just standing there. And one player, one black player, one white player with his arm around Jackie's shoulder. And he says to Jackie, "Maybe tomorrow we'll wear 42, we'll all wear 42 on our jerseys. And that way, nobody will be able to tell us apart." They had a vision for what baseball could become. So it's the question that really changes everything. What can this become? Oswald Chambers is a pastor and teacher of Christian workers in the last century. He wrote, Beware of spending too much time looking back at what you once were when God wants you to become something that you have never been. Whether you're out of shape or just out of gas, whether you're a mother struggling with a strong-willed child or a graduate struggling with what your sense of the future might be, whether you're waiting to plant seeds in the soil or seeds of the gospel, whether you're struggling in marriage or struggling in business, wherever you're struggling, if you're a Sunday school teacher wondering, is this making a difference? Asking the question, what can this become, leads to a fresh vision that can lead to a better future of encouragement and hope. What can this become? It's what the Apostle Paul focused on as he turned from destroying the church to become the world's greatest missionary. In his own words, he says, I focus on one thing. Say one thing. One thing. He says, I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I think this verse is profound, and I want us to share it together. Say it together. Join me. I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. One thing. In the rest of this message, we're going to look at three benefits of refocusing on the future, focusing on what's ahead. So when we refocus, the first benefit is passion replaces discouragement. Anybody discouraged? Anybody get discouraged? We all do, right? And when we get discouraged, we know that we lose passion for the things in life that God has called us to. At one time, you've probably quoted Robert Fulghum in his book, All I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. So he writes, find any group of kids, ask them how many can sing and what happens. Every hand goes up, right? They can all sing. Ask them what can they sing. They'll say anything, everything. They can sing it all. Ask them, what if they don't know the words? Doesn't matter, they'll just make them up. Ask how many of them can draw. Everybody's hand goes up, right? They can all draw. But what happens when you ask that same group of kids 25 years later? Same question. How many can sing? Almost none of them. How many can draw? No hands go up. So Fulghum, he asked this profound question. What happened? What happened between kindergarten and adulthood to stomp out that God-given spark that they had that he placed in every kid so that by the time they become adults, that fire has just diminished, it's gone out? What happened to the spark? So let's take another look at Peter, see if we can figure this out. He's Jesus' star disciple. So this time we go all the way to the end of the book of John, chapter 21. After Jesus has risen from the dead, it's early in the morning. Peter and the disciples are back out fishing. A man standing on the shore calling to them. They can't really see who it is. They don't know. It's Jesus. They just don't know this. And since they hadn't caught anything yet, this guy on the shore, he's calling out and saying, you know, throw your net on the other side of the boat, on the right side. And they do, and they're hauling this big catch of fish. And then John, the disciple, he says, it's the Lord. And the scripture says, as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it's the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. So Peter and his disciples, they're on the boat. They're completely discouraged that morning. How do we know? Because they're back out fishing, right? Stinky job, fishing in a boat. They've lost their vision of what they could be. And then everything changes. You know, that net goes from empty to full. Something is happening. Peter remembers Jesus' words, I will make you a fisher of men. And he said to Peter, you are the rock on which I will build my church. And that question has to be rolling around in his mind. It's the big question we're all asking ourselves. What can this become? Something's changing inside Peter all of a sudden. You can almost just see it. Peter's overcome with this renewed sense of passion. You know, it's that new passion for Jesus. He's got a passion for that calling that he knows is his, that future that God has promised. He has passion for the things that he thought were lost, and now it's becoming rekindled. How do we know? Because he jumps right out of the boat, right? He doesn't even wait. He just jumps and heads towards Jesus. In complete Peter fashion, he goes as fast as he can to Jesus. So this is a picture, I think, of passion reignited, of hope rekindled, and what it can do, what it means in our lives. And it begs the question for ourselves, what can this become? I want us to really get this question down because I think it's life-changing. Say it with me. What can this become? We have to get used to asking ourselves that question over and over and over again. So take a moment and think about it. Where is there discouragement in your life right now? Again, maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your walk as a Jesus follower. You're just not feeling it. Maybe it's a health situation. Maybe it's just after April 15th and you haven't paid your taxes yet. That's discouraging. Maybe it's losing a youth pastor. What is it that you're feeling defeated? I invite you, in your own mind, name it. Say it to yourself. Bring it to your attention. What is discouraging you right now? I want to tell you right now that it is possible. It is possible to have an encounter with Jesus in such a way that it can reignite your passion, reignite your flame. You can get it back. You can regain momentum in your life. Because just like Peter, passion and hope can return when we begin asking the question, regardless of what we see right now, regardless of what our past has been, what can this now become? What can it become? When we refocus on the future, the first benefit is that passion begins to replace that discouragement. The fire begins to reignite. The second benefit is when we refocus on the future, we experience great comebacks. Great comebacks. The Bible is full of great comebacks. It doesn't matter, Old Testament, New Testament. You can see them, people being filled with a fresh, new passion and vision. So if we pick up Peter again, we go to the next book, the book of Acts in chapter 2, and we remember Peter's background, right? He started out as an arrogant loudmouth, always sticking his foot in his mouth. He's the little faith guy. He's the denier three times, not once, three times. He tells Jesus, he throws him completely under the bus, right? He tells him, I don't know this man. I've never seen him. That's Peter. He has failed big time. You ever feel like you have no business trying to make a comeback? Yeah, you ever feel like you messed up things so bad that there's no hope for a turnaround? I think if we're honest, there are times in our lives when we feel that way. I don't deserve a second chance. Or my situation set in stone. Everything I plan just falls apart. Or why should I expect anything different? We all face it. We all feel that way. Why would anything be different for me? You do know, though, right, that with God, all things are possible. God things, God-honoring things, God-honoring possibilities, they can become reality. This is God's specialty, you know, turning things around. God can step in with a fresh new start, a fresh idea, a small little spark that begins to change everything, a new vision that compels, a new passion in your heart for moving forward, that spark that can begin the greatest comeback ever. That spark came in Acts chapter 1:8 with an idea that begs the question, say this with me again, what can this become? In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Imagine Peter now pondering those words as he's in the temple worshiping, and he comes into the upper room, and he's reflecting on Jesus going up before his very eyes, and then all of a sudden, you know, a tingle begins, and something feels different. The air actually feels different. There's a breeze. There's a wind. And all of a sudden, there's a wildfire. And pow, the Holy Spirit comes down. And his comeback is at hand. It has begun. All that fear and trepidation that he has felt, it diminishes. It's gone. Disappointment is dispersed. Discouragement is no more. There's only now boldness. There's only now power surging through Peter. He senses he is made for this very moment. This is his purpose. He's alive. He's feeling electrified. He is full of the Holy Spirit, and God is working through him right now. It's unbelievable. Just as Jesus had said, it's true, right? Just as he promised, Peter knows it's true. I am a fisher of men. And he preaches with all his heart and soul the best sermon he has ever given. It's right in Acts chapter 2. He boldly proclaims, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he says, fellow Israelites, listen to this. You can almost see him. Listen. He said, the Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves already know. He says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, it says they were cut to the heart. And they asked Peter, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on, this promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, all on whom the Lord our God has called. And with many other words, he warned them, he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted the message were baptized right there, and 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000. What a turnaround. Wow. Jesus said to Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter where you've been. What really matters now is what you become. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter where you've come from. What matters now is what you become. Cheryl had a hand surgery a little time ago, and I'm just going to let her share it a little bit. You know, what can this become?
Some of you know that a year ago, I was struggling to do the basic functions, like I couldn't button a shirt. I couldn't wring out a dish rag because I'd worn out this hand. And I had been doing injections for about a year. I was doing everything I could. I started therapy and I had no help. So I decided that my option for healing was surgery. I scheduled surgery, but in my consultation, he said that I will never be the same. I'll have full mobility, but I won't be strong. I won't have the strength. I'll never get the strength back. And I had no idea going into that surgery if I'd ever be able to like play like me again, right? Because someone telling you you'd have full mobility doesn't mean that it's going to be what you know it to be, right? So I surrendered to the Lord because there was nothing else I could do, right? And I had people praying for me, and on July 13th, I had surgery, and in 7 weeks, I was playing, immobilized, but I was playing, and 6 months later, in December, I felt like I was 100%. And today I can say that I'm stronger than I've been in this hand in years. So despite the predictions, God can do amazing things.
Thank you. So we must ask the question, what can this become? So there are three benefits to focusing on the future. Passion replaces discouragement. You experience great comebacks. And finally, and I think this is especially relevant for the church today, you're set free to dream again. To dream. I think we underestimate the power of dreams, focusing on the future, having a vision for what it could be. Chuck Swindoll, he shares a conversation with a college student that he had. He asked the young man what was meant to be a very profound question. He said, "Where are you headed?" "To lunch," the student said. You know, for a lot of people, that's our whole dream. Potluck after church, praise God. There's nothing wrong with that, right? We all like potlucks. But, you know, it's not a big enough dream for the church. So you've got to have a dream. You've got to have a God-given dream in order to thrive. So you and I have to have God-sized dreams, or we're going to be locked in this life cycle of disappointment and discouragement and frustration again and again and again. So why is it that so many of us seem to have no dream? I think it's too often because we're still locked in chains of guilt and regret instead of being set free by grace. We're still locked up. You know, remember that giant catch of fish in chapter 21 of John, Peter's passion as he jumps out of the boat. They have this great meal on the beach with Jesus. And then, you know, there's just something there between he and Jesus. There's something that's internal that is just keeping this separation. He's regretting it. He doesn't even want to talk about it. And finally, that tension is too much as Jesus begins to ask the question. He knows it's coming. In chapter 21, 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John." Now remember, this is the Peter who denied him three times. They haven't had this conversation. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" You know, this is the first time this has been spoken of. It's been bottled up. It's in the back of Peter's mind. He's knowing that he's full of failure, full of guilt. And he says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." You know, this happens three times. Peter denied him three times. He's reinstated three times. "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." And finally, Peter is set free. He's set free to have a new dream. Guilt and regret were holding him back, but now he is ready to dream. So the question is, for you and me, for you, what's holding you back from dreaming? What needs to change in order for you to dream big? When I went to college, I had one dream. Some of you have heard me share this before. It was the mid-1980s. I was a graduate in a business degree. We all aspired to one thing: make a lot of money and retire at age 45, a millionaire. Good dream, right? But for what? That's way too vague to inspire any kind of a passion. It's too low and self-centered to inspire something greater than myself. It's too self-focused. So those kinds of dreams don't lead to passion. They don't lead to fulfillment of God's glory and God's mission. Too many times we make our best commitments to secondary causes. Let me say that again. Too many times we're making our best commitments to secondary causes that really don't impact the kingdom of God. Now, if becoming a millionaire at 45 had a deeper God-given purpose, then maybe it would look something like to alleviate hunger with world vision and drive a passion for that, or build a children's home in Belize or Guatemala and get engaged in that, or dig a well in the Congo to give water, fresh water to whole communities. Now we could get behind that, or equip churches to raise up rural town and country pastors to lead thriving, regional, impactful churches. Now people would gather around that vision for God's glory. So those goals start to feel more like a God-sized dream and a God-sized vision than just simply saying, "I want $1 million and retire at 45. By the way, it's too late. But what could this become? What dreams is God putting on your heart for your life, for your family, for your church, for your community, for the world? You ever wish you had a redo? Yeah, but if only I would have, if only I could have, if only I did. You know, we all fail, right? We all have those mistakes. We all get it wrong sometimes. But we all need to keep having God-sized dreams. And we need grace to recognize that we're forgiven. We're set free from the past so that we can refocus on the future. Jesus said to Peter in his last conversation, what he said in his first conversation, he said, follow me. And when Peter was finally able to hear those words again, he was set free of his guilt and betrayal. The chains were off, and Peter began to start to dream about a far better future. And here's the key that makes all this the difference. He dreams of a future that he can start building now. Something we can start building now. So what's holding you back from building the future that you dream about? I encourage you to dream. Try something. Fail if you have to. Get back up with a renewed passion and vision for the future that God is calling you to. Move. Peter walked on water, right, for a moment, and then he sunk. He told Jesus that he would die with him, a big dream, but then he ended up a big failure, a catastrophe. With all those problems, Peter gets it right in the end. He fulfills his God-given dream of being a fisher of men. He becomes the rock on which the church was built. You and I, we all have a choice. We can simply ask the question that changes everything. Say it with me. What can this become? And when we ask that, it leads to hope. And when we have hope, that begins to change everything. With hope, anything is possible. So what's your dream? What has God laid on your heart? What is your passion fueling that God has placed for you to begin to engage to change the world? Last week, you know, we celebrated this new addition with our youth and kids, a glorious celebration. It was a lot of fun. And Superintendent Kara Stromberg, she said, after visiting the church to Cheryl and I, she said, this is a bright spot. It's a bright spot. You know, we have a dream as a church that we will be a bright spot, that we will be a lighthouse to our communities, to our region, pointing people to Jesus, all because you were bold enough to ask, what can this church become? What can your life become? Friends, I believe with all my heart, the best is yet to come. Let's pray. God, thank you that your desire, Lord, is to renew a passion and dream within each one of our hearts, to pursue you with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, and Lord, to catch a holy fire for the things that you have prepared us for a long time in advance. Lord, today, I ask that anyone that you would touch anyone here who is held back by some past failure or guilt or regret or sin. Lord, by your grace, come and let them know that they are forgiven. If that's you today and you just know that there is something holding you back, I invite you just to share that in your heart with Jesus. Say, Jesus, this is it. Name it. Forgive me. Set me free. Break these chains. You died for me. Your blood covers my sin. It is done and finished. And Lord Jesus, send your Holy Spirit in a fresh, new way to begin to refuel that passion, to begin to refocus our minds and hearts on the things that you have called us to. Lord, pour out in us, as Scripture says, visions and dreams. Lord, that we may catch hold of what you have called us to. And Lord, as we do, may we live to all the full potential. As Paul says, strive towards what's ahead, the preferred future that you intend. And in all of it, may you get the glory. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.